This morning's sermon text is not as printed in your bulletin. We'll preach through Exodus 10 next week. With the death of our sister Katrina Miltenberger last night, I have a different message prepared for you. Our text this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. These are the words of God. "For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all of them members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word and its great revelation of the truth of who we are. We ask in the preaching of this word, you would encourage our hearts to strengthen our faith and allow us to rest our eyes upon the risen King. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
So I've changed my sermon text and message to address the grief of our congregation and the death of Katrina, our beloved sister, and the hope that we have in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ground of our hope, which swallows up our grief, is found here in Paul's words: life together in Christ. To show you this, to elaborate more on this, and to show you more of what I think Paul means, we need to start at the beginning of all things. For in the beginning, everything God created was good. The water was good, and the land was good. The sun, the moon, and the stars, all good. The plants and animals, even the creepy things on the ground and the birds in the air, everything is good. The very first thing that was not good was solitary man. It is not good for man to be alone. God looked at man who was alone and he said, "This is not good, and it is not good." And so God gave him a helper. God gave to man a companion, a wife. And these two, man and woman, became one. From the one flesh of Adam, God made two people. And in their compatibility, God brought these two people back and united them together in one union, one flesh, marriage. It's as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, "Though we are many members, we are all one body." We even see that God the Father brings to Adam in the garden, Adam his son, the bride, like on a wedding day. He brings Eve to him. God leaves Adam and Eve alone in the garden for their first night, and he says, "It is very good." They were objectively one. They were two, Adam and Eve, two people, but God said, "You are one." It is also similar to something like our declaration of salvation. The day that the light of the gospel of the victory of Jesus Christ dawns on our hearts, God says, "You are righteous." He says it. He says it is so. God in his love looks upon his children through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gives us the gift of faith and of repentance, and He declares us righteous and forgiven. It's objective. God said it. You are cleansed. You are forgiven. We can often say, just even in our marriages, well, I don't feel like a husband. You know, I haven't lived up to being a good wife. We can also say in our salvation, well, I don't feel righteous. I don't very often feel forgiven. And sure, sometimes we don't. But we need to believe what God says about us more than what we feel about us. What God says is determinative, not how we feel. Adam and Eve were objectively one, even though they were two people. They were one because God brought them together and said so. God did it. No matter how Adam and Eve feel later, they are husband and wife. Just so we are forgiven by God. God forgives. And it's up to our hearts to catch up to His proclamation of who we are. We must affirm what God has done on our behalf. Paul says we are many members, and yet we are one body. Even when the tempter, the liar, comes in Genesis 3 to tear down all that is very good, God reestablishes the bond of marriage between Adam and Eve. Adam, though he was not a good husband in that moment, by God's grace remained a husband. God maintains their oneness despite their separateness. Despite the wiles of the devil, God keeps them together. What God had done, not even the devil could put us under. It's objectively true that those who are married are one flesh, just like it is objectively true that those who are given the gift of faith are righteous, no matter the wiles of the devil or our sin. But being one, or this oneness I'm referring to, is also like being holy. We would all agree that we are holy in our union with Jesus. We are saints. We are baptized members of the church. We are cleansed. We are the holy ones, baptized into the body of Christ, and we have the great and awesome privilege of approaching God because He's cleansed us. All you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, draw near to God in the sanctuary, the holy place, because you are holy. It is by God's grace that we are declared holy. We know this, we affirm this, we believe this is true, and if I were to ask any one of you, looking you in the eyes, I said, are you holy? We'd all look down. Not particularly. We are declared holy, but we become holy over time. God makes us sons, redeemed through Christ, and we grow to be more like God our Father. We're made in His image, and by the work of His Son and His Holy Spirit, we grow in His likeness. The Spirit works in us. His Word reveals our sins to us. His Word helps us overcome those sins so that we might grow in our trust and obedience and loyalty to God. You are righteous. I don't feel like it. You are holy. Are you sure? But we become what God declares that we are. Being faithful to Jesus means that you end up more and more like Jesus. Holiness is declared by God, and yet it is something we grow and mature into by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. What did our text say this morning? You, who are many members, are one body. We must grow into that reality. The same is true in marriage. Husband and wife are objectively one, and the Spirit knits them together in a bond of covenant love. It is the objective truth of marriage, and yet it is the growing bond of maturing love. A husband and a wife grow closer together as they live together and seek to obey Jesus. Their oneness deepens because the Holy Spirit is making manifest more and more day by day what was declared on the day they took vows. When a man and a woman are married, they become husband and wife through the gift of God. And the husband and wife become, if I may say, more husbandly and more wifely as time goes on. As they struggle with sins in their own hearts and with one another, as there is repentance and forgiveness through all the stages of their life together, the husband becomes more of a husband, and the wife becomes more of a wife. This is why when couples are separated, it hurts so bad. Couples that are married for a long time, when one dies, it's devastating. It's devastating to lose a spouse because it's very much like losing yourself. Over many years, the two who have been made one have grown in their oneness. It hurts. A long time of illness, or a short time of illness for a married couple, brings relief in death. But separation hurts all the more because the bond of husband and wife has grown so deep and so strong. This is because the bond of the union is by the Holy Spirit Himself. You all, though many members, are the one body of Christ. And we've lost one. The Spirit of God has been knitting together a relationship over many years. And it hurts. When a husband loses a wife, when that bond is broken, it is like being ripped in half. And being ripped in half does not feel good. And yet we know that the Spirit who does this, the Spirit who brings this about in our lives, does so as a good work of God. He can do nothing wrong. He separates to join together. He rips up so that he can bind. He uproots so that he can plant. He bruises so that he can heal. He brings darkness so he can shed light. He brings down and he buries so that he might raise up and glorify. All of this is true in our lives. It's true in our marriages. It's true in the church. It's true because the Spirit of God is the bond of all of our relationships. The Spirit is the matchmaker. He is the one who holds us, our families, and our church together in unity. Remember that your family is bonded together by the Holy Spirit. Parents and children are joined together by the Spirit of God, and the relationship of the family grows and matures by the work of the Spirit among you. All the hardships, all the trials, all the travail. You grow up to be more of who you are. Friendships are the same. The Spirit brings people into our lives, and we grow together, and we strive together, and we work together, and we build together. And He grows us up. And sometimes He takes them out of our lives again. And so this is similar. This is true all across the world in creation, in the church, in our families, in our marriages, in our friendships. It's true because it is a reflection of the Godhead. Oneness in unity. The one and the many, the three and the one, bound by the Spirit of God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet there's only one God. The Holy Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. And to be with the Spirit and to have the Spirit in our midst today means that we are still united and bound to those who are not even in our presence. Because our union isn't based on our emotions. It isn't based on our declarations. Our union is based upon God Himself. In Christ, Paul says, you have all things. You have the past, and you have the present, and you have the future. You have life and death. You have Peter, you have Paul, you have Apollos. In Christ, all things are yours. Things in heaven above and things on earth beneath, all are yours in Christ. Even the dead and departed are ours in Christ. Apart from Jesus, you will have nothing. A marriage is one flesh, and yet there is two. A family is one, and yet there is mother, father, and children. The church is filled with many members, and yet we are one body in Christ by the Spirit of God. All of these things are united and held together by Him. We have before us in our grief and loss an opportunity to grow as the body of Christ, to mature in our faith as the people of God whom He has declared us to be. When parents are separated from kids, or when friends are apart for a long time, when church members are pulled from us, when a spouse dies, it hurts. But even in this separation and pain, the sovereign God who is holy has brought this about for the good of His people and the glory of His name. All of our relationships are a blessing from the triune God, and to lose them is one of the most painful experiences we can pass through. When a relationship like this, when a husband loses his wife to the grave ends, it's a severing of something that was once whole. When the body of Christ on earth loses a member to death, it is a severing. All of us this day have experienced it. Katrina is our friend. And now she's gone from our midst. She's a member of our church. And now she's gone. She's a matron of our faith. A mentor to our mothers. A cornerstone of Emmanuel Church. A delight to us all. And now she's gone. She's Richard's wife. And now she's gone. But we must remember that God has done this. He built up these relationships. He built up these covenantal bonds by His Spirit. And He's momentarily taken them away. And only the Spirit of God can knit us back together. Only the Spirit can take the wound and bind it up and heal us for our own good. Only the Spirit of God can bring good out of death. When a loved one dies and goes to be with Jesus, you know, they don't feel that pain. Right? How could they? To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, and it is far better. They enjoy the everlasting and blessed relationship with the Lord that was promised to them. They are with the saints in the heavenly hosts. It is us who feel the pain. We feel ripped in half, but Katrina doesn't. Katrina is in the fullness of her joy, chatting with Tabitha about all the new members and all the babies. And we must remember that in the midst of this pain of ours and the separation we experience, the Holy Spirit, who is the bond of our union, remains. It hurts, but God has promised. Katrina hasn't gone anywhere. We can't go. God Himself is the constant. Speaking of Jesus, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. In Christ all things hold together. And then this is what Paul says. And He is the head of the body, the church. In Christ, the church holds together. That bond of God, which is unbreakable because God is unbreakable. That bond is still there because the God who created that loving bond is the one who remains. Nothing can overcome Him, not even death, because death already tried and lost. And thus our union with God is everlasting. All of us, with our sister Katrina, united together in Him who holds all things together, who is the head of the body of the church, are still united. And now, because Katrina is absent from the body and present with the Lord, the closest that we can come to her is here on the Lord's Day worship. When we lift our hearts up into the heavenly places with all the angels, archangels, and all the heavenly hosts of whom she is now numbered. We are united to her now as close as we ever be to her here on earth until we too pass into glory. We are with her in the heavenlies, seated with Christ. We've lifted up our hearts to where Jesus is, to where our sister is. Our lives are hidden in Christ with God, just like hers. This is what it means to be the body of Christ. All the saints are in the communion of the life of the Holy Spirit. And all of our life is found in the life of God. And because of this, Katrina is still ours because we are still God's. Only the bond of the Spirit and His grace will heal the pain of loss, because it is only God who can bind us together. So what do we do? And how do we live? How do we keep going? What do we do tomorrow and the next day and the next with such a saint missing from our midst? You must remember that the church is the fellowship of the Spirit. One body of Christ declared and growing into that reality. We are knit together by someone. And this someone cannot be beaten. This someone cannot be broken. This someone cannot be overcome. And this someone cannot be severed. We share one baptism, Paul says. We fellowship at the bread and wine. We have one faith, one Lord. And we love and support one another in this time of sorrow. That's what we do. It's not good for man to be alone. And so we're to trust God's promises and praise Him for His grace together. We must fellowship together. In fact, honor Katrina and her Lord this day. Honor our everlasting sister with good food together. Make Javanese and sing praises to God. Drink rich wine together. Share beautiful things. Some of you have known Katrina and loved her and have been loved by her for decades. Some of us for a few years, some of us for a few months. But you all must understand that isolation is a killer. Isolation will not heal you. In grief, you may indeed want to be alone, and there's certainly times for that. Like our Lord Jesus, you may need to spend the night on the mountain in prayer with a father by yourself. But even there, you're not alone. For the spirit of the union of our bond is with you. Like David in the Psalms, you may need to cry it out until your throat is raw and your bed is drenched in tears. Go ahead. There is no shame. You may need to throw all your frustration and the pain and sorrow to God. You can really let Him know how much you hate death. It's not unchristian to tell your loving Father in heaven that you don't like how this feels. So do it. Tell him. But what you may not do is leave the body of Christ. What you may not do is live alone, because there is no life outside of Jesus and his body. Isolation will only compound your grief. You must fight the temptation to be alone. Being alone only exaggerates our pain and makes things worse. Paul does tell us that though we are individuals, we are nonetheless members of each other. Your grief is my grief, just as your joy is my joy. We are all one. We are all one in the Spirit of God who unites us. We must not betray what God has said about Emmanuel Church. No matter the darkness of our despair or the brokenness of our hearts or the weight of our grief, you cannot walk away from the truth that you are the body of Christ, because this is what makes all the difference in all the world. You need one another because you need Jesus. You need to bear burdens together, and you need to share joys together, and you need to bring God's word to one another. You need to sing psalms to one another and pray for one another, cry together. Because here in the body of Christ, Christ is found. Proverbs says that our hearts are like cities, and the walls of our defense are very weak. If it's just you standing guard on the watch of your heart, you cannot stand guard alone against all the enemies. You cannot defend against the enemies of doubts and anxieties and fear, unrighteous anger and selfishness. You cannot defend against that on your own. We need each other. The liar will come and tempt you to despair even more, and he would love to get you alone. When we are all alone, we become uncertain and discouraged. It's very difficult to have a firm grip on your faith when you're by yourself. Your mind is a bad conversation partner. You need your brothers and sisters to be the proclaimers of divine salvation, of victory, of life and of promises of God. You need to be reminded of who you are so that you might have the faith which overcomes the world. In our grief, our hearts can be uncertain, but your brother sitting next to you might be sure and certain. In your sadness, your faith may grow weak, but the faith of your sister may stand firm. You must remain in the body of Christ so that Christ can be ministered to you. After all, what is it that overcomes our sins? Life with Christ. What is it that overcomes the devil? Life with Christ. What is it that overcomes the world? Life with Christ. What overcomes the curse of sin? Life with Christ. What overcomes death itself? The life of Christ. And if we do not have these promises spoken to us, if we do not have the ministry of the Word of God from outside of ourselves, if we do not have the promise of the broken bread and the poured out wine, we will all fall to pieces. We'll fall away from the life of Christ and be given over to despair. You must be around your brothers and sisters who remind you that the one who overcomes all things has given his life to the world by the Spirit of God who has united us together. Here, the people of God, here you are, Emmanuel Church, the everlasting body of Christ, where the saints on earth are united to the saints victorious. This is who we are. Jesus gives immortality. Jesus builds a temple of living stones never to be destroyed. Jesus constructs the city of God that no enemy can sack. He takes away all accusations of the devil so that we might stand. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He walked out of the grave with the keys to death and Hades. He is the master of the grave, and none of his will ever remain there. Just as Jesus learned obedience, he learned to trust the Father through his sufferings of life, so too must his body on earth. We must trust the Father in this. And so we must press against the despair of death and the darkness of our grief together, because we are the people of God. We've been given the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the life which will never end, and we've been given the love of the Spirit of God, which will never be broken. In our time of sorrow, Christians, remember what God has done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word, for all the rich promises that you've given, and how not one of them has ever failed. We're thankful, Father, that you've granted to us faith, so that we might not live by sight, but rather trust you for all things. We trust you now with the salvation and the life of our sister Katrina. And we trust you, Father, for the gift of faith here at Emmanuel Church. Help us to endure and to persevere, to grieve with hope, and to be joyful even in times of sorrow, knowing that death is but for a moment and life with Christ is forever. Give us strength of faith to believe this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The song printed in your bulletin has been changed. Let us stand together and sing "For All the Saints," song number 671. The table of the Lord is a reminder of our faith that we are not a people who say was. We are a people who say is. Because Jesus died, he is alive. Jesus is with us. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the King. Because of this, saints united in his body, many members, made into one loaf of bread, are also alive. Katrina is our friend. Katrina is our sister. Katrina is alive. Though she has passed through death, the fiercest of all enemies, and has come out the other side. She did this because Jesus gave his body and his blood for the forgiveness of her sins. She followed where his feet have trod, through the valley of the shadow of death, to everlasting rest and life. This table is a proclamation against the lies of the world. They think there is death and then nothing. But we know better than that, because our God is not a liar. Jesus lives, and because he lives, this table, even in the midst of our sorrow, is a table of joy and of celebration and of victory. May this fill your hearts with great joy as we sing the Agnus Dei.